Brothers and sisters, our first scripture comes from the book of Genesis. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him to be as righteousness. And our second scripture from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 1 through 3, and then continuing on at 8 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received powers of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars and as innumerable as grains of sand by the seashore. All these died in faith without having received the promise, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your word. We have heard how it promised to Abraham, how your faithfulness continued through the ages. And we ask that this word would light our path and guide us as we seek to be your faithful people in this world. Help us to live faithfully, to follow in faith, and to live as you have called us to live. May this word today light our path and give us guidance for the days to come. Illuminate our meditations and our thoughts this day, O Lord. Amen. Faith is a very tricky thing. Unlike many things, there is no way to quantify it. You can't look at your faith gauge when you wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I'm about a quarter too lobed. I should probably fill up today. There's no dipstick in the engine of faith. You can't just go clean off the stick and stick it back in and figure out that you need to add more faith. There's no way to really quantify faith except by living. Faith is not about touch and feel and measurables. It's about faith. It's about living without measurables, living about what you can see, what you can touch. It's about living in a point of risk. There's a reason why a leap of faith is a leap of faith. If it was just a walk of faith, it wouldn't be any measure of risk. Instead, you are stepping out. Think of Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade and that final trial he faces before he goes to get the Grail. He steps out in faith that there is a path beneath him. Every minute of our lives, we step out in faith. Now, make no mistake, there's a reason for us to have Abraham, or Abram if you prefer, as an example of faith. Abram seems to be the big one who gets trotted out often enough. Noah could have been used. After all, he did go and build an entire ark and fill it with animals, risking the slings and arrows of mockery from his neighbors. Hey, nice boat, Noah. When's the rain coming? But the rain did come. Except that Noah had this great moment in the vineyard, and so we don't usually use him as the best example. But we also like Abram. We like him because he is human. He is tangible. We can see his struggles with faith, his struggles with the promises of God, his moments where he risked all. When we first meet him, he's taken by his father to Haran from Ur of the Chaldeans, heading towards Cana, to a land promised by God. And they stop in Haran. And then God calls him to leave. God calls him to set out and move forward, to go to a land that's promised. And he takes that leap of faith. Even though, as the Bible makes sure to let us know, he's already 75 years young. On faith, he, his wife, and his nephew set out for the promised land. There's a risk in his journey, a risk to say goodbye to his friends, his family, to what he has known. He needs to go on, and yet there is a superstructure of family and support that he's setting aside in order to move. He needs to say goodbye to one culture and go and move to a new one and almost create his own family culture. I remember the fear and trepidation felt throughout my family when my little sister, who's 5'11", so she's real little, and her husband decided to move from one end of Michigan to the other. It was a 3-hour jaunt and move. Brad's company had decided to close their Muskegon location and move, or give everybody the option to retire out. Half the factory, half the group, half the business moved. And so Brad still had a small superstructure of co-workers that moved. But his entire family was on the other side of the state. His entire set of in-laws, well, were scattered to the four winds. He and Jen set forth with no support, risking a new city, a new home. Luckily, it was the same job in a new location. And it was Detroit. And nobody wants to go to Detroit. But they moved. And they found a new way to be. And their superstructure of family and friends traveled to visit them. No, his parents weren't in Detroit, but they would drive and visit. So faith played out. Imagine for a minute that leap of faith for Abram, moving not from one side of the state to the other, but from a whole other country or other country to another. There's no guarantee that he can make this transition safely. There are raiders and robbers along the trail, ready to pounce on him and his family, take everything that they have. And he has only the promise of God to go with him. What about the worry of disease and illness along the travel? And yet, in spite of this, Abraham leaps forward in faith. He packs up everything and goes to Canaan. But God doesn't just make this one go and I will be with you promise to Abram or Abraham. God doesn't just say, go and I will bless you and bless others through you. God makes another promise. A promise which perhaps even is greater. Because honestly, we don't know Abram's circumstances in Haran. Maybe this call from God is not really the change we might think it to be. Maybe he's ready to get out of Dodge. Maybe he doesn't have the largest superstructure of friends and family. And so this new opportunity looks very shiny and lovely to him. So he's willing to go and risk. But that second promise is what we look at today. Sure, he's in the land of Canaan. Sure, God's promise to bring them there safely has happened. But God has yet to fulfill the promise to number his descendants as many as the stars. God has called him to be his. And yet, God's promise looks to end with Abraham. It looks to go with Eliezer. Eliezer of Damascus, who is a slave in Abraham's household. It's one thing to have God safely bring you from point A to point B. But here, God's promise has yet to happen. And as we can see, Abram is getting a little anxious of that promise. He's getting a little nervous since it hasn't happened yet. Here is God telling him that he will number his descendants as many as the stars. Or as the author of Hebrews uses, as many as the grains of sand by the seashore. And if you ever want to be smarmy with a grandkid, a great-niece, nephew, ask them to start counting grains of sand. and see what happens. Now think about that promise. Think of the first step of that promise. Because this is not a promise that keeps on, that stops. This is a promise that starts and keeps on going until the descendants are like the stars in the sky. Abram, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob will never live to see even a glimpse of the fruition of this promise. This promise doesn't reach completion until year upon year upon year, generation and generation down the road. But it has to start. It has to start with Isaac's birth. It has to start with Jacob's birth and the 12 sons of Jacob's birth. But the promise is never complete yet. The promise is one that will take well past the lives of these people. And so this leap of faith is a leap of faith that almost leaves you falling. The great temptation with faith is that if you don't have it or see it, it gets lessened. If you can't touch it or feel it, or you have a fear of losing this promise, you can try and take action on your own to try and help God. It's like if there's that person in your lives, and I would suspect all of us have that person, that doesn't have the greatest faith in others. They ask somebody to do something, and before the person has time to actually do the task, it's already done. Well, you didn't do it yet. Because I didn't have time. We know those people that don't have faith in others. We cannot be those people with God. We can't take action. If you pay attention to Abram, his faith was not perfect by any stretch. Regarding his safety, he couldn't quite put his full trust in God. So when he deals with the Pharaoh of Egypt, he says, well, this is my sister, not my wife. When he deals with Gerar, the king up north, he says, well, again, this is my sister, not my wife. Please don't kill me. He can't quite trust in God fully. And he learns his lesson every time. Even with this promise of descendants, he can't quite trust God fully. He sires a child with Hagar, one of Sarah's slaves, named Ishmael. But God comes again and says, child of the promise is not Ishmael. Seeing isn't faith. Knowing isn't faith. Unless we get into the idea of seeing and knowing that which can't be seen, and that's not for today. The fact is, faith is belief in what you cannot see, belief in what you cannot know. It is trusting in that which you cannot have a safety net for. Faith that ebbs and flows like the tide. The other stories of Abram tell of a faithful person who struggles. And instead of ripping Abram apart for his lack of trust and faith, we should find comfort that he too struggled as we do. When we have the voices of doubt creep into our subconscious, as he did, we can know that we aren't the first ones to question and wonder, but we can see God remaining with them, God sticking it out with them, God being faithful. The reality is that's the ebb and flow of faith. Think about it. Abraham and Sarah don't see the end of this promise. And so they had to go on trusting that even after they were gone, God would be faithful. Isaac and Rebekah had to trust that their son would continue the promise, the covenant promise of Abram. Jacob had to trust that his sons would carry on. The fact is, none of them went to their graves seeing the culmination of this promise. But they went knowing and trusting. Maybe not as strongly as they would have hoped, but knowing and trusting that God would be with them, that God would be with their sons and daughters, their grandchildren, and on, until that promise of God would come to fruition. God has promised to be with us. God has promised to welcome us home when we are joined together with Him in glory. We can't see it. We can't taste it. We can't measure it. All we can do is trust in it and live faithful lives following our God. Amen.